All right, this is Jared, Lefty's Precision Rifle Podcast, back again. Episode 43, on my own again. Try not to ramble too much, but I figured I'd put a little something out with all the buzzwords here lately and what's been going around on other podcasts and whatnot. So see what other groups of shooters, I'm sure everybody has their own little groups they're talking to, and see if you guys are talking about any of this stuff. So episode 43, if I'm counting right, and talk meatball matches, wind sharing, prize tables. What's everybody's thoughts? So obviously looking for some feedback. Got some feedback on the last one. Folks that what you want to hear, what you want to, people you want to listen to. So see if I can't get some folks on and start going with that. But of course, in my little group, I'm not, didn't plan on having anybody on this one because I don't want anybody getting thrown under the bus or feeling bad. Again, that not this whole podcast isn't meant to be negative in any way, but see what everybody else is talking about, how it compares. So meatball matches. I hear people talk about meatball matches. One of the big ones, obviously, was last year's January Texas match, which I'm actually getting ready to go to with a couple of buddies. We'll be down there, so if you see me, come say hi, like I said. But two-day national match, I think it may be even been an AG Cup match, I can't remember. But always a meatball match. Well, I obviously didn't shoot very good, so I didn't think it was a meatball match. But, you know, what is your definition of a meatball match? Big targets. My definition of a meatball match is, well, and it's never happened, but my definition would be if two people end up cleaning a match. Well, then I think it's probably too easy, right? Which I don't think has ever happened. In fact, like we talked about, I ended up cleaning the Midwest finale. Never thought it was possible. Wouldn't even think about that going in. I think Jake came in second with 8 shots. I had shot a perfect day. I had never shot that well. You talk about Bushman cleans a two-day match. I think second place dropped 3 or 4 shots. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Obviously, he was the best shooter that weekend. You got Ben Gossett cleaning the third day of the AG Cup a couple years ago. Like, arguably the hardest match, let alone one-day match, two-day match, whatever you call it. I hear some people saying, oh, you can clean a one-day match. Whatever, but obviously the hardest match, smallest targets ever, and he cleans it. So I don't know how you talk about it being too easy if someone cleans it or a meatball match, but better get that out of the way. I definitely think there's something to not being a meatball match, but big targets, right? Like Prentice Wink, he's been on a couple of different podcasts. I need to get him on. I think he's actually on Mike Burtis's podcast last. So you need to go check that out. But, yeah, big targets bring people to the match. I don't think there's any arguing that. Prentice Wink at Texas Precision down there in Navasota, he has 2 two-day matches a year and sells them out. In fact, this one was sold out within a month or two of even opening registration. So I don't think there's a question. Close the door here. I don't think there's a question that big targets, people hitting targets, gets people to your match. So, and then obviously everybody talks about, that's kind of what this podcast is about. Everybody talks about grow the sport. Well, how do you grow the sport when targets start getting so small that you're only getting 60 or 70 people to a two-day match, 80 people, maybe even 100. That to me starts telling, you know, the consumer's telling you, the purchaser is telling you that, hey, maybe your targets are too small, right? And then listening to Mike and Prentice on that podcast, Phalanx Arms, if you want to go check out his podcast, definitely check out Mike's. But hey, Prentice will tell you he's not shy about it. Like, he has 200-plus shooters at both of his two-day matches. They sell out. His one-day matches have 100 shooters at it and sell out. Like, he's doing something right. There's something there to be said for growing the sport, growing your range, and getting new shooters in it. I mean, on top of that, he's got loaner rifles, a bunch of loaner rifles and stuff. He's just doing a bunch of grow. But like I said, not to be negative, but there's something to be said about big targets. People hitting targets want to come back to your match. Let's see what else has been talked about. Prize tables. So I hear a lot of people, oh, prize tables, shouldn't be worried about prize tables. I'll be one of the first to tell you, I like picking up a prize off the prize table if I shoot well. I don't want any hand-me-outs, but if I shoot well, I appreciate the MDs and the sponsors and putting prizes on the prize table. I do have a few sponsors. I'm not making any money. Definitely not even breaking even. Like, it's expensive. So appreciate the sponsors. You know, Intex Construction, let me kick them out here. Intex Construction, if you're around Wichita or the Midwest, anything done, let us know. My wife, To Rescue Bookkeeping, she's a bookkeeper, owns her own business. If you need your books, if you own a company, need your books straightened out, she's the one, she's the number person. They've helped me out a little bit. Apex Metal helped me out. Makes trophies, makes a bunch of metal stuff. Precision Rifle Voice, if you haven't checked that out, precisionriflevoice.com. He does surveys. He started a podcast going over his surveys. In fact, we'll get into this wind shearing. He just did one on wind shearing. It's pretty interesting. But go check some of them out for sure. Sure Firearms. Jake's coming down to the Texas match, so hit him up. Spins up one heck of a barrel. So definitely no excuses there. So yeah, go check them out. But price tables, I appreciate them. There, you know, you hear some of these podcasts and people are going to say, oh, if there wasn't a prize table, I'd still be shooting. Well, if there wasn't a prize table, I don't know if I would be shooting, to be honest with you. Right? So I spend, well, I mean, you do the math, it's a $1,000 weekend or so. I appreciate, if I shoot well, I appreciate getting something out of it. It definitely helps cover the bills. And I know some people will pick up, if you shoot well, I haven't shot extremely well at any two-day matches, but pick something up and sell it, reimburse some prices. I'm a firm believer, and I pick up something that doesn't cost me any money. I've got quite a few certs for jugs of powder, barrels, Bartland barrels, Hodgson powder, like all the stuff I'm using. If I can pick something up, it's $300 entry. I pick something up, $300 barrel cert or $300-$400 powder cert. I'm picking it up. That just recoups some of my money. You know, so like I said, prize tables, another big, not hot topic, but another topic that gets thrown around a bit that people are talking about. So I'll be one of the first to admit publicly that I appreciate the prize tables. I like them, but I definitely, every time I pick something up, I'll email if is a sponsor that I'm getting something from, I'll make a Facebook post. That's another thing. A lot of people talk smack about the Facebook post and post match briefs. That's my chance to thank my sponsors. Thank whoever put stuff on the prize table. Like I said, the people that are supporting me throughout the year. That's my chance to make it public. Let them get some airtime, right? No point in taking their money and not giving back. Right? Two-way street. They're helping me out. I want to help them out. But yeah, if I get something off the prize table, I'll definitely hit them up on my post-match brief on Facebook, Instagram, on here, telling them thanks. And then obviously, if it's a cert that I got to email them, first thing I do is thanks. You know, first sentence in that email is, thank you for supporting the PRS. Right? I was lucky enough to pick up your cert. Here's what I like. Again, thank you. So, you know, I don't know. Shouldn't be ashamed to pick up prize table if you shoot well. Something to help you cover a little bit of cost. Another one, wind shearing. So this wind shearing one's pretty interesting. So obviously listen to one of the real famous podcast members, top shooters, and they're not big on it, on wind shearing. I straight up tell you, I don't mind it. I don't ask a whole lot of people for their win. I only ask people I trust. There's a lot of people that give them win calls that I really don't want to hear it because I don't trust your win call or whatever, which not to put anybody down or name names, but I mean, I'll ask people I trust, which is probably going to be the people I'm shooting with or traveling with. So you can put two and two together there, but I personally don't see any issues with it. If you go to the Precision Rifle Voice podcast, his website, he put a survey on it, and his surveys are actually pretty interesting. It's about 50-50 or 45-45, and there's some that don't care, or 40-40, and 10% that don't care, 20% that don't care. I figure it's pretty interesting. I'm a firm believer in I'll even take a win call that I trust, and I'm still making my own decision, right? Like, you still got to pull the trigger. I've given people win calls I know was exact dead center. They're the next shooter, and they're not centered up, or they're even off target. Like, you still got to know what you got to know. You still got to pull the trigger and be steady with it, right? So it changes shot to shot, let alone shooter to shooter. So I really don't have an issue with it. I think it comes down to how would you control it. You run every match like an AG Cup match. I don't think that's feasible with 150, 200 shooters. Could it be done? I'm sure it probably could. Again, it's like another one with prize tables. If it come down to that, would I still be shooting? I don't know. I'm not shooting or signed up for the AG Cup for a reason. Not necessarily the format. I just don't. I want to get something on my return for investment, right? So I don't sign up for the AG Cup. I'm not that level shooter. But yeah, good and the bad. I can see why people don't want it shared. You know, I see both sides of the story. You know, it's individual sport, this and that. Usually if I'm asking when, usually I might ask when someone comes off, if it's someone I trust, or if it's someone I'll trust, I'll ask what they're starting with. And the only reason I'm asking what they're starting with is I'm going to watch, like I said, someone I trust. I know they got a good trigger squeeze or steady. And that first shot, I'm going to watch and see if they're off. Like, oh, you know, I'll make a mental note. They're holding 2/10 left. They hit 2/10 right. Okay, so it should have been 4/10 left. Well, I'm going to try and make a mental note of what that wind is doing, what it looks like, what it feels like, so I can apply that to my wind call, right? It's not necessarily because, hey, give me the wind call, I'm going to hold that. I want to try to get as many variables and answers as I can at that time. So, and then obviously I might ask if someone's coming off and what they finished with, if they were dead on or if they were left or right. Because again, I'm going to try and apply that information. Again, foot stomp from somebody I trust. I'm going to try and apply that information to what I have or what I'm seeing and add wind or take wind off my call. So, like I said, wind sharing, I don't have a big issue with it. I see the complaint on both sides, or the issue on both sides, but no biggie to me. Let's see what else. Another one we've talked about, so AG Cup matches and qualifiers, targets being so small. Again, I think it's contradictory to growing the sport. Me personally, if you're making qualifiers, AG Cup matches, targets so small that new folks that don't know any better or just want to shoot a local match and it happens to be an AG Cup qualifier and they're going out just getting their tail handed to them. You know, if they're shooting 40%, 30%, that's learning. It's definitely learning, but it's not fun, right? Especially when you're spending the kind of money to come to a 2-day match. Obviously, 1-day matches, that's all on match director, range owner, whatever regional series you're in, on how they've run that. I definitely think that's a real good spot to learn. That's how I went about it. Shot the regional stuff for a year, 2 years, then RO'd 2-day matches for a year while I was shooting the regionals, and then jumped into the pro stuff. Obviously, you can do it however you like. That's how I did it. Just try to get my money's worth, right? I don't have a abundance of income that I can just blow on toys and playing on the weekends, but I want to try and make it worth my money. So that's how I went about it. But AG Cup, smaller targets. Obviously, they're the best shooters in the world, but my only deal with that is when you get 200 shooters, or let's do the easy math. So 180 shooters, and there's 18, if that, AG Cup qualify or signed up shooters, well, that's 10% of your deal. So, of course, the fire's changing for 10% of your shooters. Well, then it comes down to, is it growing a sport? Where's that match director or range owner making their money, right? They're making their money at mid-pack shooters like myself that are paying our entry fee, you know, aren't filling any sponsor spots or anything like that. So I don't know. I'd like to have someone on and talk about that, but I don't know if they're, I don't want to put anybody on the spot or anybody be blackballed or get called out for talking money or bad on the sport. Like I said, this is not meant to be negative anyway, just kind of get the feelers out, see what else everybody else is talking about, get input, get feedback. Like I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I'm not trying to hurt anybody else's feelings. I'll definitely sit down and talk about it. I can see both sides of everything that I bring up, right? Definitely not one way. I don't take it personal, so don't take it personal if I'm thinking in a different time zone as you. It's just stuff to talk about. Try to grow the sport, right? Other than that, I didn't have a whole lot. Just that's some of the stuff that's been running through my head. Obviously, like I said, I talk about with the circles that I run with. Didn't want to put anybody else in the spotlight, so I didn't put anybody else in or even ask anybody else to come on this one with me. This is just a down and dirty and a quick one. I want to try to do one with the guys going to Texas with. Maybe even try and put up some videos like I talked about of the Texas match. Hoping the weather's going to be all right. It was looking like there was going to be some rain down there. We'll see. Let me check it real quick. Last year was miserable, to say the least. Just rainy and wet and nasty. We'll see. This looks like maybe a chance of rain on Saturday, 65. And looks like sunny on Sunday in Navasota. Friday looks like decent, so we'll see. Taking the rain gear, obviously, and the cold weather stuff and everything else, but we'll see how it goes. That's my next one's Navasota, like I said, Texas. I don't know what's after that. I might end up going to Iowa, shoot that match. We'll see. Iowa in March. It's where I was born and raised. It could be. Nah, it's nasty up there right now, so we'll see, but that's probably next on my list up there. Shoot a Sobotka's match, Shields match in Iowa. So look that up. Check it out. And then I don't know what's after that. I have to look at my list. Don't have it truly, truly finalized yet. And got to see what's going on at work. But again, just throwing out some stuff that's been running through my head here lately. Not trying to get anybody wound up, trying to keep this one short so I don't start rambling, but let me know what you think. Meatball matches, they good, bad? What do you think about them? Wind sharing, good, bad? Like I said, go to Precision Rifle Voice, fill out start watching his surveys. He puts out surveys about matches and how it was after the match for 2-day matches. Has other stuff on there, wind sharing, survey. AG Cup, love the format. Would love to be able to shoot and be competitive in the AG Cup. So definitely not looking down on that. Want to get there one day. Prize tables, that's always been a big one. What's your thoughts on prize tables and big targets? Kind of goes with the meatball matches. Is it good, bad, indifferent? Does it grow the sport? Does it hurt the sport? Another one. Wasn't even on my sheet. If you weren't at the finale or didn't see the speech by Ken Wheeler, had a great speech. Talk about growing the sport, trying to get it as big as Bassmasters. And then you have people on the flip side saying we got to start having more rules. You know, target sizes, this and that, for distances, need to be this size or that size. Everybody's got their own thoughts on it. But what do you think? What are your thoughts on targets being bigger, smaller, or being somewhat the same size compared to distance? So the idea that I've heard is if you're 400 to 800, they need to be, we'll just throw numbers out there, 5/10 wide. And then if you're 800 and beyond, they need to be 8/10 or a mil wide. Like, that's how some folks have talked about trying to get it somewhat similar. Well, I think it'd be doable. Then I think you start handcuffing some range owners and match directors' hands on targets they have. Do they have to buy a new target, spend more money on steel? Then what happens, you know, to entry fees? But I also think that, you know, a 800-yard, and I'm not even talking about how tall they are, but an 800-yard, 5/10, 8/10 wide target shooting in Kansas most days is a lot different than shooting a 5/10, 8/10 wide target 800 yards at K&M or somewhere they don't get wind per se, right? Like there's a big difference. So that's another argument I've heard. How do you factor that in? I don't know if you do. That's my thought on it. How do you, and how do you make it fair? That's the one thing I like about PRS is each range you go to, range is set up different, match directors set it up different size targets, different targets. You know, you go out to Twin Peaks, out to Ryan's, and there's a lot of animal targets. I like it. I like shooting animal targets. I got into this just to try to be a better hunter and better shooter. And then you go to other ranges and there are no animal targets, which it doesn't hurt my feelings, but I just like the difference. I like how you go to one place, it's one thing. You go to another place, it's another thing. I like it's not an exact routine or exact same all the time. But then again, how do you grow the sport if it's just there are no rules or size comparisons or anything like that? I don't know how to fix it. You know, this is another one of them deals that I'm bringing up. Questions or whatever, and I don't have the answer. So why bring up a problem if you don't have the answer? But again, what do you think? Give me some feedback. Like I said, I got some feedback off the others. I'm trying to get some folks on, get in contact with them, make sure our schedules line up, get some more people. Try this year to get more out. Maybe not weekly. Get some more episodes out. Best definitely bi-weekly or two a month, at least one a month. Start getting some stuff going. Wanted to apologize for the sound on my last one. I don't know if it still sounds good on my recorder, but it sounded horrible when I listened to it on the actual upload on the podcast. So that might be because I uploaded it on the road, so I didn't upload in as high a quality as it should have or I wanted it to. So this one should be all right, but I'm going to start trying to use those mics that I was using there more often. Do some of the stuff at my reloading bench when I'm thinking about it or reloading. Go through some of that stuff if you guys want to hear about it. What I do for reloading and checking zero, checking dope. Again, Precision Rifle Voice has some of that stuff he's already started on there. And he keeps his stuff at 20, 30 minutes, so they're not super long. Listen to it on a car ride to work or sitting at the house. But I'm going to start wearing that mic around a little bit more. That'll give me some more time. You might hear some my powder thrower going or something in the background, but it gives me some time where I can actually do something else and talk at the same time. And hopefully won't mess anything up. But let me know what you think. You know, those big issues, meatball batches, wind sharing, prize tables, those big issues are not too much time being spent on worrying about that stuff. I personally think that some folks spend too much time worrying about it. Just go out and shoot, have fun, be a better shooter, better rifleman, whatever you want to call it, better hunter. That's my whole goal. But yeah, let me know. Shoot me some feedback. Instagram, Facebook. I have a Facebook page or a group. Look me up on there, or just look up my personal account. Shoot me a message on there. Had people do all of the above. So let me know what you think. Good, bad, indifferent. Like I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings. This isn't intended to hurt anybody's feelings or get anybody fired up. So let me know what you're talking about in your group. Until next time, thanks for listening.